You're listening to Millennial Dreams on the Spirit of Things with me, Rachel Kahn. If you were a member of the Worldwide Church of God in the 70s, you would have been used to prophecies that didn't come true. Founded in 1933 by American Herbert W. Armstrong, then continued by his son, Garner Ted Armstrong, the church was best known for its free publication, The Plain Truth. Henry Sterke, an American living in Zurich, has been a pastor in the church for 20 years. He was present on one of those fateful days in 1975 that Armstrong had prophesied would herald the end.
For a number of years, the Worldwide Church of God did expect the imminent end of this age. And for a long time, there was even a set date in mind. The expectation was that Jesus Christ would return on the Day of Trumpets, the Rosh Hashanah, in September of 1975. There was a parallel expectation that the faithful would be taken 1,335 days in advance of that time to a place of safety. Not heavenward via a rapture, but physically, bodily taken to a place of safety on earth in the ancient Nabataean city of Petra in the Jordanian desert.
Why Petra?
I think part of it has to do with the name. That's the Greek word for rock. Of course, that is the city that's carved out of rock. But the rock is also a... that's rich in biblical allusion. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. The chief of the apostles being named Peter, which is also a form of Petra. Now, what happened to the church is that it backed off of these predictions in advance of them happening. In other words, they were not faced with having to explain in the aftermath why they were wrong and having to come up with a different explanation for it, which has often been the case in church history.
But they would have had to explain it beforehand.
Yes, and of course they would do it. Thankfully, Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. Now, you can take that two ways. In the days when we were very strong on speculation, we would say, yes, you can't know the day or the hour, but it doesn't say you can't know the month or the year. But if you're withdrawing your speculation, then of course you can appeal to that scripture to say that it's really not given to us to know.
How did you feel on that day in 1975 when you were gathered together? What did you do?
Well, let's see. I think really the main adjustment was prior to that in January of 1972. The original expectation would have been the work of the church would be wrapped up, its mission would have been accomplished, and we would be taken to a place of safety. Instead of that, in that very week when we would have expected to flee, I was present when Herbert Armstrong, the founder of the church, when he did the groundbreaking for the keystone of the church's campus in Pasadena, California, an auditorium that would serve dual purpose of being worship center for the church, but also host concerts for the public. So instead of leaving, the first spade was turned to say, well, we're here to stay. And that required a bit of an adjustment, yes.
Well, you went on to undergo training at the college and right. to become a pastor. Mm-hmm. Were you a full believer in the imminent end of the world?
That's a question that, of course, it's really difficult to answer honestly when you're looking back, because there's always the danger that you're reinterpreting your past. I think that people who knew me at the time would have characterized me as one of the true believers. On the other hand, in my first job after graduating from Ambassador College was as Brussels correspondent for our magazine, The Plain Truth. And I was supposed to be looking for evidence that the European community was turning into the beast. One person gave me the tip that the European community had a beast computer. And supposedly it was in the basement of the headquarters building of the European community, two blocks from where I lived. And
how did you sleep at night?
Well, I was skeptical about that. But I figured you can't ignore a tip, and so I did my best to research it. I looked through the entire building. There was no such computer. So it just wasn't there. And that's what I had to report.
But you went on, I assume, looking for other signs that the beast was indeed Europe. or in Europe?
Well, I came to the conclusion rapidly after arriving in Brussels that the European community, as it then was not the beast. It could have perhaps been a preliminary stage of developing into it, I felt at the time, but as it was not.
Did you think it was elsewhere?
No, and I think this is important too, about the self-identity of the Worldwide Church of God. The identity was not totally tied up in the expectation of the end time. There were other aspects. For instance, we had a set of heterodox doctrines, and we were committed to a very strict style of life as Christians. It was like a tripod. There were three legs on it, and if one was shaky, you still had the other two. So it wasn't strictly a case of reading the newspaper every day to look for the end of the age.
Now, Henry, it seems the other legs of that tripod also were modified over the years. Was that the sort of whittling away of the foundation of the church for you?
Well, of course, it wasn't even a lengthy process over a number of years. It was a fairly rapid process that the church went through subsequent to the death of Herbert Armstrong in 1986. Although paradoxically, for the first few years, the church actually grew and reached the largest size that it had ever reached. In 1989, the Berlin Wall fell. Actually, that seemed to be a confirmation of something that Mr. Armstrong had always maintained. He had always felt, and this is something I was personally always skeptical of, that the 10-nation European beast would be formed of 5 nations from Western Europe and 5 nations from Eastern Europe. And I thought, not in my lifetime. And then, of course, the Berlin Wall fell, and the East opened. So the first reaction of the church leadership was, we were right, and how could we have known? And so actually, we began researching all of our archives to try to compile a list of correct prognostications, correct expectations. The result of the search was that, yes, there were certain things that did seem to confirm our expectations, but we were forced to admit that our researches also led us to see a very long list of expectations that just hadn't panned out. And so the result of that was the backing off from making any kind of end-time speculation. Subsequent to that, we revised many of the heterodox doctrines. We had, for instance, a certain doctrine about the nature and destiny of man, and as well a doctrine about the nature of God. The combination of those two led us to feel that we had a unique understanding about the plan of salvation that others did not have. That was changed. And then the final leg was when the underpinnings of the strict style of life that we had, when that was also revised, then all three legs had been removed. And then there was a massive departure from the church. The church still exists, but many people did leave to try to hold to the set of beliefs that they had had up until that time. The church that remains is about a third of the size that it was. I would say the hemorrhaging has stopped, but the bandages are still red.
As some of the more outlandish beliefs of the Worldwide Church of God were dropped, it was at the personal level that Henry Sterke felt the loss.
Even if you feel that you've made the right choice of which part of the church you've stayed with, there's still a case of broken fellowship. Right? There are friendships that have been ended over this. There have been families that have broken up over this. One thing that was always true of the Worldwide Church of God is that the fellowship of the church, as it's described in the New Testament, the sharing, the mutual support, the being there for each other, that was something that we very strongly experienced in the church. When that was broken as a side effect of the changes that we've made, that was hard to go through.
Well, indeed, that communal intimacy that you find in a more sectarian group, mm-hmm. Now that at least the branch that you're still connected with has kind of normalized, as it were, has shed some of its more obvious sectarian beliefs and practices, would raise the question, why still belong? Why do you still belong? Is it distinctive enough, mm-hmm. as a church?
That is the $64,000 question, right? That is the question that's confronting us right now. It was not only me individually, you asked on those terms, but I would say that that's the question facing the entire church right now. We had a strong sense of identity based on who we were. That sense of identity is gone. And right now, I would say that the church has not yet found an identity to replace that.
Still a member of the Worldwide Church of God, Henry Sterke is a research assistant at the University of Zurich. More trenchant critics of mad behavior, religious or otherwise, in the public sphere, is psychologist and social commentator Ronald Conway of Melbourne. I turn to him for some pithy observations on the Messiah complex and other millennial mentalities.
Well, I suppose you could say, in a sense, it was a kind of paranoid dream whereby one inflates one's own importance in the light of the goal that one wants to reach. I am the messenger of Christ, and therefore I am the messenger of the Buddha or Holy Joe, whoever.